All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I hate to break the fishing news after Ramchuk, but I'd like to speak about the ice hockey.
Congratulations, you're one of the 13 listeners of the Real Life Podcast.
We just traded a migraine in for like an orgasm.
Might want to mark that down, Ramchuk.
Yep. All of my projects are on schedule until they're not.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts.
About as funny as we're going to get today.
Episode 290 of the Real Life Podcast. I'm Tyler Ramchuk. Jay, Wanye, Bag Milk, Chalmers, everyone is here. This podcast is brought to you by the HGA Group, which I say glowing things about to start every podcast because they are our friends. I was going to have my liner here, but my computer is not working. So
HGA, you got to get into like what they're about. Like, so you can go to HGA if you're a business owner and they will give you like legal advice. They have accountants. If you need something to do with marketing, they have a whole marketing arm. They have a graphic design arm. Like, you can go there as a business owner and get a variety of things from one group of professionals. Mm-hmm. Rather than trying to figure out who the hell anybody is in the market, go to one company. They'll handle it all.
Well, a la carte, if you will.
A la carte. We've used them for our bookkeeping and accounting services.
Yeah.
They really clean things up for us. Thank you, HJ. We are using them for the reboot, revamp, new look, dailyfaceoff.com.
Huge
announcements coming down the pipe for that. Just
this week, potentially.
This week, if we can get our shit together, we're trying. We've got Josh Park on the case. We just want. What's that?
Is it a cake?
No, there'd be a cake in normal time.
There's a border issue with the cake. There's a border issue with the cake. So read into that as much as you want. So that's fucking exciting. And they are now. So because we're doing all this crazy stuff at Daily Faceoff next year, we have to create a bunch of like visual assets and pitch documents, because essentially Daily Faceoff is going to become a channel. So we need to like go to market and build all this out and hopefully land some national sponsors to join us for the new look, rebooted Daily Faceoff.
We used to run around everywhere and work with all these great people, but they were all one-stop shops.
Oh, and then it's to the next person. And so it's just like piecemeal Frankenstein stuff that we've been working with throughout the years. But now we're dealing with pros. So like they're working on this crazy high-level doc that's going to have like video integration and audio integration. There might even be a clip from the Real Life Podcast in this doc that we go around sending to advertisers.
Owen Wilson, wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Oh, wow. 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 Put that in your fucking presentation, Johnny Corporate. Wow. So,
needless to say, we are using HJ and they're helping us with the most important stuff of our lives.
And they asked us, they were like, can we advertise your podcast? We're like, what the fuck? They're like, well, we listen to it because we work with you. We're like, I guess. And then, wow, lo and behold, if they're not our advertiser too, best company ever. Wow. When your accountants pay you, wow. Some of that.
All right, cool. So there you go. That was a hell of an ad read for HGA.
HGA.
Getting their money's worth. All right. There's something I want to do right off the bat before we get too sidetracked. Once in a while, we have current or former professional athletes on our podcast, but there is one who listens to the podcast.
Whoa.
We've talked about him before. But Eric Sabrowski, one of the few professional baseball players from the city of Edmonton, made his professional debut over the weekend down in Fort Wayne. Two innings pitched, one walk, two hits, one earned run, four strikeouts in two innings. Shout out to Eric Sabrowski, listener of all the Oilers Nation podcast. Big Oilers fan, made his pro debut, did a good job.
Also shout out to Fort Wayne. Let us perhaps, if schedules work out, to sit in and take some pitches. You know?
Oh, comes back and then we'll work that out.
Sorry, Eric. I'm taking you yard, bro.
Buddy, good fucking luck. Do you know how fast?
I wouldn't even hit it.
Like, we know what miles per hour these guys throw at, but like, dude, that's like a millisecond. It happens so fast.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Well, good.
It was pretty cool to see that on the weekend.
Thanks, Milk.
Good for him.
We have a kid on my U11 team who was our starting pitcher. I don't even think one of us would get a hit off of him. He throws
So I've been talking about on Oilers Nation Radio how I would want to just stand in the batter's or stand at the plate and look at what it looks like to come. And Electronic Jordan over
what
the weekend.
What it looks like to come.
Well, yes, the baseball that is, Chalmers. Get your mind out of the gutter. Looks like to have a baseball thrown at you. And Electronic Jordan over the weekend sent me a 98 mile an hour POV of a Jack Leiter fastball. And that shit is intense. Is intense. I wouldn't hit it. Does anybody here think that you could, let's say Eric's up here, tosses a fastball right down Broadway.
No, we've gone over this.
I could bunt one. I could bunt one.
No, you wouldn't. You'd break your hand.
You couldn't. No, you couldn't.
I could bunt one.
You would hear it. You would hear it go past you and hit the glove before you even fucking knew what was happening.
I could bunt one. I could bunt one.
No,
I can fucking bunt one. I don't care. That is one. That is a hill I will die on. No. I could not swing and hit one, but best believe I could bunt one. Foul and get out anyways.
Jay, there are two things that would happen if you bunted the ball. Either you would just tick it and it would go foul, or you'd bunt it right into your own face.
Full cage. Going full cage.
Oh, yeah. You'd have to go full. Like, if I'm standing in there, I'm
bunt it into your own face.
Yeah.
That's going full hockey
equipment. I'm going inflatable sumo suit, full cage, and I'm bunting.
So you think he'd watch it come and then it would go all into his face?
Stop it, Chalmers. This is a family fucking
These
podcast.
These clips are writing themselves.
HDA, listen to this.
I will not have that shit on this podcast.
Yeah, that's a whole different podcast.
All right. Anyways, I wanted to get that shout out of the way.
By the way, since you mentioned Eric Sabrowski, he DM'd me the other day. His pick for a no-cup NHL player?
Oh.
Brent Burns is his pick. I like it.
What? You think Brent Burns stands in front of the net cross-checking people with no cup on?
Yeah, I can see that.
He's a wild man out there.
I think the no-cup players are like fringe wingers, like Phil Kessel. I think Phil Kessel would be a no-cup guy.
What?
Right? Like a guy who doesn't get involved in the mix too much. He's a veteran guy too, so he knows where to go. He just sort of
you
hangs out around the top of the
circle. You are asking for an inverted penis, not wearing a cowl. You get hit, your insides are outside, your outside are inside, you got no side all of a sudden.
I could see like a one-dimensional offense only.
Yeah.
Like if
Yanni Rita
nets off, like not wearing a cup.
Yeah.
No Europeans would do this. This has to be a North American meatball.
Well,
I feel like if you're from Sweden, you have good sense. Brett Burns.
Joe Kessel just looks like he forgot, like he's the type of guy that would just forget to put it on.
Yeah, maybe.
Oops.
I look forward to seeing Phil Kessel when he's done being a pro athlete and how he just erupts into a hippo-sized man.
One of the secret game-within-the-game goals of this podcast has to be to get a name of a player now retired who was part of this elite fraternity. Like, we got to figure out at least one person who net baby's retired.
And it's not just one person. Also, I would also love to know how close did it come to making it a bad choice? You know, did it hit the pants right beside it? Maybe a shin pad, something like in the general area. Maybe you blocked one with your hand.
It makes an already dangerous situation infinitely more dangerous.
Oh yeah. These guys are gambling with their lives and genitalia, and I respect it.
I'm texting Strutty to ask him if he ever played with or against anyone who didn't wear a cup.
He'll never break the code.
No. He might just say yes and not say a name.
He'll be like, no, we all wear cups. And then he's crossing his fingers and counting his money.
Strutty's wore two cups, I bet.
All right. Fair enough. We rolled through that first topic, somehow got on the topic of cups. But the other thing, Bag Milk, you were posting, you were eating watermelon with mustard on it.
Yeah, man, TikTok made me do it.
Gabe in. TikTok scene.
I saw a video on TikTok that was trending of this dude saying, if you like watermelon and mustard, you need to try them together. And I was like, well, I love both of those things. So I did it today.
I'm a firm believer if you like two things, they can exist together.
See, and for me, like, I tried it, I did it. I gave it two goes, in fact, because I wanted to make sure that I cleaned the palate after the initial reaction. And it was, I mean, it wasn't offensive, but I would prefer just to eat watermelon. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, it didn't. Okay, interesting.
It's like, it wasn't offensive by any means, but I wouldn't be like, man, I need some mustard for this watermelon.
Like, you know? Mustard's a very distinct flavor, so it could overtake things. Yeah.
What the hell is TikTok about? Jesus.
I've seen this. I really want to try it. So I have watermelon at home. Oh no, I'm going to do it. It's not like
I don't think you'll be offended by it, but I don't think it's going to be like, man, I need to mustard up my watermelon going forward.
It won't be like the next hot flavor of Pringles.
No, it's not going to be you bringing peanut butter with you wherever you go. You know what I mean? It's not going to be, you're not going to have mustard just in case you happen to cross some watermelon in your
neck. I don't know, but mustard isn't one of those things, right? It isn't one of those like life crutches. It's not like you don't crave mustard. It's just if
some people do.
Sandwich. I guess maybe they do.
Grey Poupon mustard. There are people who love that shit.
See, maybe that's the ticket. Is now I need to try different mustards on the watermelon because I just went straight yellow this time.
Well, that's where you got to start.
Ugh. Listen, TikTok is for the Chinese to spy on us. It's not for this type of bullshit.
Well, now they know that they can convince me to eat watermelon with mustard.
What are they making us do? Eat watermelon with mustard on it? The bastards.
There's three things that my TikTok is all about. One is babes.
The bastards. Oh, yeah.
One is crypto. The other third is just random shit like mustard on watermelon. Who knows what it's
Bag Milk.
I know this nation.
Bag Milk.
Of course.
Bag Milk. You're big in, you obviously know a lot about TikTok. Did you see this weekend where a bunch of there was five fights and they were all TikTok stars versus YouTube stars?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Headlined by Sway House Bad Boy, Bryce Hall, and fighting YouTube star Austin McBroom.
I respect that you know all this.
Chalmers, you are way in deep on the fighting TikTok. That Austin is not McBroom. That's not my algorithm, my man.
Well, yeah, I know because I don't know why, but sometimes I get videos that cross my path. And
because you've liked every Austin McBroom photo for the last 3 years.
Yeah, you're a big Sway House guy. Yeah.
I actually didn't know anything about Austin McBroom until about a week ago when I saw this. I knew there was Bryce Hall became quite famous for a love triangle like about a month ago. And followed that. This guy Bryce Hall is supposed to be like the bad boy, toughest guy on TikTok, like, and he just got his TikTok. just imagine you go from getting your face caved in by a YouTuber, and he's like, okay, I got to repair my image. I'm gonna go back to dancing. It's like, what the fuck is happening?
There's like a weird thing too. Like, could you guys ever have imagined? I guess this is just one of those things that ages me out of TikTok, I suppose. But like, I could never have imagined ever getting together with a group of four or five of my buddies and doing like the little wiggle, wiggle, wiggle dances to the camera and like posting that and being like, yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, or to move into a house with nine other people and there's like five guys, four girls, and you are a TikTok crew who just makes videos and straight prints money. It's
lives in Calabasas.
Incredible.
See, that sounds like a great time, but like there's other parts of it, like dancing with your bros, that I just like, I could never have seen myself doing it.
It's just the new version of like what the 1700s and 1800s, or sorry, like the 1600s and 1700s were, where everyone was like a classically trained dancer.
Doesn't our childhood look charmingly simple now in comparison?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
If us as a bunch of kids, rather than just sitting around and drinking, had been like, well, we need to put a fucking TikTok together before we can go out tonight. Like we're working on choreography and shit. Like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, yeah. That's like, and first of all, none of my buddies that I hung out with in high school were had any coordination required to put together a choreographed dance for TikTok. I'll tell you that much.
Well, Chalmers, I guarantee you this, we'd have been trying to make a fucking video and your shirt would have been in the dryer. And we'd be like, Chalmers, can we make our fucking TikTok? And you'd have been like, my shit's in the dryer still. 5 more minutes till we can do our video.
The shirt before the shirt.
Look good, dance good. That's my thing.
Motherfucker, the hours we've wasted waiting for your shirts.
You guys, yeah, well, you got to have a crisp shirt to go out with. But this weekend, you wonder how I know about this fight. This was, like, fighting was an all-time weekend this weekend for fighting. There was 4 things that happened in the fight world. There was Lamar Odom fighting Aaron Carter. Did anybody
believe? No, shut up. That did not happen.
You didn't see the highlights? You, it did.
Oh, he destroyed him.
Destroyed him. Like, it almost wasn't Aaron Carter.
Aaron Carter runs at him, and he just basically, like, swats him around like he's just an insect, and then, you know, persists to beat the shit out of him. There was the YouTubers versus TikTok, which was amazing. And now the guy that put on the fight, or the company that put on the fight for the YouTube TikTokers, probably not paying the fighters. Big time scam of all scams. the real sanctioned event that was exciting was the MMA fight this weekend with Israel Adesanya going against Vittori for the second time. That was awesome. But my favorite fight of the weekend, if you guys saw the clip of the Phoenix Suns fan who takes on 2.
Oh, yeah.
Nuggets fans.
Go Suns in 4.
There's a couple rules to fighting in the stands, although I've never been in one. I can
what?
Still
there
say
are?
That.
All right.
Yeah,
no, go on. A couple. Not like rules as in like there's rules of engagement. It's more like vantage points, things that you need to, if you're going to fight in the stands, you got to make sure that, you know, 2 things are working for you. Number one, you got to have the higher ground. You got to be up 1 row higher. You always
smart.
Have, yeah. Yeah. Number 2, try not to have many people around you because they can trip you up. They can make you fall. Now, this guy has the lower.
Oh, he's got the higher ground. I'm watching it.
Oh.
No, he has the lower.
No,
ground.
You got the wrong guy. Yeah, exactly.
So the Phoenix Suns guy, 2 guys right are taunting him. He pushes the 1 guy back. The guy doesn't look like he wants any of the smoke. Puts his cell phone away. Looks at the person filming him with a kind of almost a wink and a nod. I'm going to suck the punch this guy. Goes in for the sucker punches and misses.
Tables turned, bro.
Continues to get his basketball jersey ripped over his head like it's a hockey jersey and fed uppercut.
Fed.
Oh, wow.
And the guy has enough presence of mind after he's still holding him, gives him another couple uppercuts, looks at the camera and starts yelling, Suns in 4. It's unbelievable video. And I usually don't like crowd fights. They can become pretty fucking dangerous and like,
well, there's rules to them too.
Yeah. You need an official.
Get the higher ground, man. Not rules like that. God, you guys are so literal sometimes. rules to live by. If you're sitting
Did you see the Avalanche guys fighting in Vegas because they took their flag? Any commentary on that crowd fight?
Yeah, that's a shitty move. Fight. You don't.
Oh man, he's really starting the old lawnmower on him.
Yeah,
he is.
That needs to go on hockeyfights.com.
A good call.
Really, and as he's talking, he's just throwing additional.
And then the guy who gets beat up is like holding his face and runs off with his pants sagging.
Then the second guy even goes and like smacks him too and smacks him away. And then the other guy's just down trying to.
Oh man.
I'm not there watching this for the first time as well.
That guy in the Suns jersey just fed him his lunch.
And then
Suns in 4.
Suns in 4. Jeez. Suns are winning it all. Holy cow.
And a free shout out to Steve Nash too for the Nash jersey making. Yep. Oh, he's going back up in it now.
A Nash retro. The best part about this is I'm pretty sure that was in Denver.
And none of the other Nuggets fans other... like, no, oh, that guy that got popped, oh, like, runs away.
Now. He's grabbed the chain now. Uh-oh.
Can you put a post of that up for the socials this week?
Buddy, you know it.
Yeah, you know I'll it. Oh, someone threw a
big,
big,
wow.
big weekend for fighting.
Chalmers, when hockey comes back, should we challenge ourselves to have a more theatrical fight at Rogers Place?
No.
To be like, we got to bring back hockey.
We are not advocating for violence at Rogers Place.
Oilers in three, bitch.
Tyler, your M-Chuck is specifically advocating for violence at Rogers Place.
I'll wear your M-Chuck jersey.
For that shit.
Yeah, I don't
know. But it's staged, Chalmers, in this
scenario. No one knows what you look like, so they'll all think it could be me. I guess
it's staged.
All right. Before we keep moving on, a shout out to our friends at Neo Financial. A better way to spend, save, and get rewarded. They got a sleek, nice-looking app. They are the future of saving your money. Neo Financial. Speaking of things that happened at fights this weekend, Bieber pulling up with Austin Matthews and Freddie Anderson. The three of them were UFC together.
Wow.
Wanya, I know you liked it.
You know, I did. Loves the Leafs.
And did you hear the Caps? Like, who do you like best? And he's like, I'm just here for a good time, my boy.
Yeah.
That's what he said to him.
Oh, yeah.
My boy.
I didn't realize that is the small best. Biebs is, though.
Oh, he's so short, man. Look at that photo. Short, like, dude. Matthews is like four strides behind him and they're the same height.
According
that's the
to
best
the
marketing Google. The Leafs have had. Sorry, buddy. That's a lot. That's the best marketing the Leafs have had in months. Matthews going to the fight with Biebs.
ESPN
the
host.
Old, Google machine Bieber is 5'7".
Lies. I buy that. Bullshit. Bullshit.
ESPN posted a photo of Bieber walking in with Matthews, and they made no reference of Matthews. They're just like, Bieber pulling up to the fight. It's like, yeah, we got a long ways to go in marketing this sport. Eh?
Just the rights holder, ignoring the NHL guy.
Ignoring
Bieber and an unnamed French fisherman going to a fight.
Well, yeah, like that just tells me, like, who's the famous friend in this one? You know what I mean? Like, everybody knows Biebs, but like, Matthews is a very specific flavor of famous, I would imagine.
But it was in Phoenix too, so I guarantee you Matthews was probably the one invited and took him.
Oh, Biebs is invited no matter where he goes.
Biebs can go wherever he wants.
Yeah, man.
No, I know that, but he was like, come to the fight. Like, you think Bieber was like, hey, I'm gonna come to Phoenix and go to this fight with you, knowing that he'd be there? Like,
well, that could happen. Like, you're right, Chalmers. Austin Matthews and Biebs are buddies. He could have reached out to Biebs saying, hey, come to this fight. But
hey, come to Phoenix, come to the fight.
Yeah. Hey, let's,
like, okay, Chalmers, here's my question. Who is a better singer, Matthews or Bieber?
What?
Well, when Matthews was in his previous job as Freddie Mercury, probably him.
Touche. It's a good line.
If you could only save one guy, they're both hanging, Chalmers.
No, one's in each hand.
Yeah, who do you save, Biebs or Matthews?
Who do I save?
Yeah, you can only save one. No one's going to blame Bieber. You for whoever you drop. You're a hero for saving one.
Yeah, Biebs got a jam.
Bieber Matthews all day long. Jams. Bieber all day long.
Countryman.
I've got every album on my phone. Matthews doesn't have a single place on my phone.
He doesn't have a single knocking jam. That's what I'm saying. He's not the guy to save.
Write sorry and we'll talk, Austin Matthews. Or perform, sorry.
I love everything Bieber, especially his Drake video. That's one of my favorite Bieber things.
Yeah, Popstar.
That's the best.
Yeah.
Chalmers, do you know why that video, at the end of the video, Drake phones him again at the end? Do you remember how he phones him at the end of the video when he's walking his dog?
Yeah.
His phone rings. Do you know what that's about?
No.
So at the beginning of the video, Drake's talking to his buddy, and he's saying how DJ Khaled's annoying the shit out of him, and he has to call in a favor. To even up, Drake is in Bieber's first video ever. The video, I think, for Baby, a very, very young Drake is like a celebrity cameo in it. And so he was calling in the favor for appearing in his video to have Bieber come to his. And so the rumor is that the next video is going to be the flip, and it's going to be a Bieber song with Drake in it.
Oh, yeah, he totally was in there.
Cool, hey?
Yeah.
Whatever. I just know that because I'm on all the Bieber message boards. Whatever. How are you guys spending the pandemic? Whatever.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Whatever.
I'm going to make a hard topic transition now. Ooh, and remind
good
everyone
luck with that.
Yeah, but this is a good one because on this day 15 years ago, Fernando Pisani scored the goal, the shorthanded goal to extend the series.
What goal?
What?
The shorty.
In OT, shorty.
Man, that
was it important or something?
Oh, boy. Some Does Austin Matthews have a mustache? Oh, wow.
Yeah, so what, are you guys all just going to watch it now, or what are you doing here?
Yeah, I can see it in my mind any moment I please.
Legitimately just reminiscing. I was trying to think exactly where I was when that
happened. Where I was. I was at Beer Hunter in St. Albert, RIP, and as soon as that goal went in, I threw a pitcher of beer in the air, and nobody cared. Nobody in the room cared. No. We all hugged each other.
As you should. I would love if someone didn't have some beautiful, delicious beer rain down on me to celebrate an overtime shorthanded goal scored by Fernando Pisani in 2006.
And that was a 21-year-old bag milk, so wasting a pitcher of beer was a big deal back then.
You still have not financially recovered.
That had a monumental effect on your net worth statement at that age.
JR, is that the Krupp Cup run that we went to Mexico in between the semifinals and the Stanley Cup final?
Yes.
Thinking of the Oilers Cup run of 2000. Yeah. You fucker.
No, that was in 1983.
No, that was the run of Mexico. 13. Son of a bitch.
I don't remember any
of it. So you guys, I want to know more. I feel like you've told me this story, but I don't fully remember it. So was the Mexico trip pre-planned and you didn't expect an Oilers playoff run? Okay, it wasn't
It was pre-planned, but it just so happened that the game... Did we sweep the Ducks? We swept the Ducks,
JR,
right?
JR, no. I'll tell you exactly
how it was.
Yeah. Was it 4-1?
Yeah, we got to Mexico on the night of game 5, and we won that game. Closed out the series. So then there was exactly seven days between that game and the first game of the Stanley Cup final. So we didn't miss any hockey. We were literally in Mexico, came home, and then started the Stanley Cup final.
But you don't remember which game Fernando Pisani got an OT shorty?
Of course I remember. Wanye, Jesus.
I'll tell you one thing. That watching game one of the Stanley Cup finals after a 7-day bender in Mexico. Whew.
Well, that's just good training, though. That's what that is.
Pisani was on our team. Oh, he scored for our team. Oh, I get it now. I remember.
Oh, my God. By fucking the mustache of Austin Matthews.
You're M-Chuck. I don't think he gets it.
It's a shtick.
If you had to make a Mount Rushmore of iconic Oilers goals, but starting in the year 2000, so Marchand's on there, right?
Yak Slide's
on there.
Yak Slide
was Marchand in 2000, or that was in the 90s? That was late 90s, was it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The Patrick Stefan Hemsky goal has got to be in there.
Yeah, that 1,000,000% has to be.
Connor versus Columbus.
Jordan Eberle's first goal.
Oh, big time.
But now we have too many on the Mount Rushmore.
Well, we have to talk through this.
Okay. What would this mountain look like?
Hey, let's do a bracket challenge on Insta. No. Like, get on your stories. Get people to, like, vote on them.
Yeah,
we rank them.
What is so the top, the Mount Rushmore for the last 21 years of Oilers hockey?
Yeah,
Taylor Hall getting his head cut in warm up.
That no goals, we're talking goals.
Oh, I thought just top moments.
No, so yeah, you'd have the Pisani goal. If we were to do a bracket, as Chalmers said, Pisani goal's one seed.
If you're talking about most important, I'd go Pisani goal. You'd have to throw in the Pronger penalty shot goal. If you're talking about like most important goals.
God. That goal, I thought we had the whole thing clinched.
Like that was very important.
Yeah,
I thought we were going to sweep Carolina if we won when he scored that goal.
I don't know if we won that game that he scored it in.
No, that was game one. When it all went to hell.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Fuck.
Peter Klima's overtime goal against Boston.
Jesus, yeah, we said in the last 21 years.
How big is this mountain? just to get this straight here, M-Chuck, you're envisioning a mountain face with like plays etched into them. So like there's like four different nets with four different plays going on.
Mm-hmm. No, see what there would be. It would be one iconic photo from each play. So like the Patrick Stefan goal, the etching in the side of the mountain would be him just about to fall down as the puck's going over his stick. The Fernando Pisani goal would be right as he the Marchand goal would be from behind as he's shooting it.
That was in the 90s, dude.
And then the Klima one would be him in the corner. with his Jofa helmet on.
What about when the Rocket Richard scored for the Oilers to beat the Chicago Blackhawks in 1951?
If you could have an EFT,
doesn't know what you're talking about.
An EFT of Oilers moments, modern era, what would you want?
NFT.
Oh, not, that's a transfer. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. NFT. What would you want?
I'll gladly take a transfer from you.
Yeah. An EFT for my NFT? I don't know. Is there an NDA? Well, then, yeah. Chalmers.
It has to be.
That was buddy. That was geeky funny.
Yeah.
Sonny, it has to. Yeah, Chalmers. I'll let Chalmers have.
Pronger it. Scoring game one. Remember that he pumped his fist after he scored in the penalty shot? That'd be a good NFT.
I just love it because that goal is so funny because that, like, the fourth line was on the ice. And so normally a forward takes it, and Pronger's like, no, these guys.
Me.
Suck. I'm taking it.
And Todd Harvey's like, I'll take it.
He doesn't even do anything. He just goes in slow and just like ices the goalie with his eyes and just puts where he needs to put it. Like,
there was another goal from that run that I love of when Rolly smashed the puck out of the air right onto Mike Pekka's stick and he scored like a half breakaway.
Oh, yeah, Pekka had a good one too. Yeah.
And Samsonov coming out of the penalty box.
Just a picture of Sheldon Surrey on it for just good look.
Just naked in that shot with fucking Cogliano. Oh, that would be an amazing NFT.
You really should sell that as
you know what? The Samsonov goal, like, obviously we know that I have the best memory. That was a good goal, that Samsonov one coming out of the fucking penalty box.
Oh, buddy, it was huge.
Oh, in that Boston Bruins series, Chalmers?
Yeah, when he was playing for Boston. Yeah.
Oh, really? Ramchick, are you having a stroke?
No, I'm watching the Pronger goal. It's so sick. Mick Magoo just in the perfect spot to make that call, and he was fired up to make it too.
Mick Magoo, collar no pop. Bucket. Like that was the coolest ref going.
Collar pop referee.
Yeah, what man. Nick.
No, you're wrong, Mitch.
Carey Fraser, by far, all cool referee.
You want to go Mount, well, of course, Carey Fraser, but you Mount Rushmore referees.
Oh, maybe there's a Mount Rushmore of referees? Color me in for a visit, never.
A little Andy Van Hellemond on there.
Don Koharski.
You know, we're in the dog days.
The Mount Rushmore of referees is empty again. The parkade is empty.
You know, we're in the dog days of sports talk content when we're doing Mount Rushmores, but multiple in one show.
But let's try to stay on topic and finish this.
Hey, at least we're original with the Mount Rushmore segment.
Yeah.
I'm trying to stay on topic with the first Mount Rushmore, but someone keeps saying Peter Klima.
Peter Klima. No,
he's mocking you because Mount Rushmore wasn't invented by us.
I know he's mocking me.
It's an actual Chalmers mount.
He's sassy today.
Chalmers is sassy and a little perverted today too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's all worked up.
Yeah, bent
up from the fight weekend. You know, like after
uh oh, Aaron Carter must have boxed again. Chalmers is all worked up. Nobody beats up Aaron Carter.
There's just a lot of fun stuff going on right now. I don't know if anybody caught my fun Instagram clip, but I had one of the best weekends of my life. I had one of the best weekends of my life this weekend, watching my son play his very first ever game. I feel like I blinked my eyes and it went from coach pitch and a bunch of kids picking flowers to now, like, kids wearing proper uniforms with belts and cleats, pitching to each other with straight gas, throwing strikes, and, like, turning double plays. And it...
There was a double play turn?
Like, four or five of them, man. Our first baseman got a liner. He, like, had to stretch out to catch it. The kid took off, and he went back and tagged his base. And I was just like, that's a 10-year-old, man. It was so cool. And, like... It was just one of the best times because we were over at Tiger Gold. It was just felt so like professional, like the coaches all wearing unis. It's just, and the games are like exciting. And so, yeah, man, I'm on cloud nine from that basically, but it was a good weekend. Yeah. I'm a little sassy because of that.
Are you starting to see now why some parents get a little bit too into it? Like, can you see yourself losing your mind on an ump in provincials?
Well, so yes and no, I could see why people would do it. I have been placed in the role of first base coach, and therefore I am
neutralized.
I am in the thick of it and neutralized. But
hammered.
I can see it. I mean, you know, these umps are kids. Everybody has to remember that these kids were like 15, 14, 15 years old, right? And so you got to keep that shit into perspective. But three games this weekend. Very first ever competitive game for some of those kids. We, you know, tight first game. Second game was a runaway. We played a team that just is a juggernaut. Wanted to see how the kids would come back to it in game three. And yes, they showed us something. And they got a big, big win, 16-3. And so it's like, you know, we had every facet of ball. We had a real tight game that you lost, so you feel that. Just got boat raced. And then boat raced another team right afterwards. So it's like...
What's that mean? Boat raced.
Boat raced?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Bag Milk, you're the...
Well, you're the one using the it.
Yeah, what the fuck?
I know what it represents. I know how it's used. I just don't know where the origination comes from.
It's probably from a boat race that was lopsided.
Yeah, maybe because when you know, back in the day when I was riding crew, we used to always be like about three
riding crew. That's rowing for Yale.
Actually, I did a cool
thing. Are you a Winklevoss?
Talking about boat racing, when I was in New Zealand, you know how boat racing's like the America's Cup? I went on one of those boats and we went ripping. One of those ones that tip really, they got those like the like that counterweight that's like 20 feet below the boat that's super heavy. And so the boat can tilt over real, like really tilt over.
Yeah, yeah. That's called those racing. What the hell are they called? I think they're called like spinnakers. No, I don't remember now.
I went on one of those and we got to like crank the ropes.
It's on the Mount Rushmore of boat designs.
It is.
boat raced to be beaten very badly at something, especially in such a fashion that you were behind from the start and never had a chance. Comes from the boat race, an annual rowing competition between Oxford and Cambridge, in which the first side to get ahead can move to the middle of the river where the current is fastest and almost never overtaken thereafter.
Very Winklevoss.
One of the reasons I love this podcast. Those drops from Bag Milk are like probably one of my favorite things in the world.
And I know how to Google with the best of them.
And they're made possible thanks to our great sponsors like twigandberries.ca, a great local clothing company who has a store that is opening soon in St. Albert. Their grand opening is soon in St. Albert. And if you don't want to go into the store, if you want to order online, it's twigandberries.ca. And we got a promo code Nation15 gets you 15% off.
Keeps everything intact and nice and in place in case you're going to do a portage for your own boat race.
Yep.
The underwear portage race, the underwear is in position one on the Mount Rushmore of underwear that I own right now.
I would agree with that.
Those
in the Teddy Roosevelt position?
Are unbelievable. And Jefferson. Well, I don't know. It depends on which one of those presidents is your favorite.
What are the four presidents on Mount Rushmore, Chalmers?
I have zero idea. I could guess.
Ooh.
George Washington, Jefferson, the one you said, and then Rushmore?
Well,
Count Rushmore himself?
Count Rushmore.
Count Chocula.
You know, President Rushmore. The guy
Grover Cleveland, Lyndon Johnson. Yeah,
Lyndon
Grover.
Johnson.
Yeah, Grover Cleveland, Lyndon Johnson. That
Gerald
guy
Ford.
The guy who died like 40 days into office. Harry William Herbert Templeton Herbert. Or some weird three-namer.
And Machine Gun Kelly. It's a weird mix.
And Simon Cowell.
Oh, man.
Did you guys hear about the country or the city in Chile? You know that big, huge Jesus statue with his arms right out?
Yeah, in Brazil.
And it's like
in
at the Brazil. Top of, in Brazil. What did I say?
Chile.
Okay.
There's Chile, two sorry. In Brazil. They're building
Rio de
one.
Janeiro, I think.
Yeah, they're building. What a prick move this is. You have one city that literally has nothing but this huge statue.
Well,
and now this other
that.
Prick city. This other prick. No,
it's
literally.
The same
like,
city
it's the
doing it.
Thing.
It's the same city doing it.
No, it is not. It's a
it's
different,
just a different
city
part of town.
A bigger. Oh, they just
they're so devout religiously.
Monuments?
They're so devout religiously, and you just walk by like, prick move, keep walking.
No, I think you're going to have to look that back up. I believe it is another city that is going to
I thought
take
it was just a different
tourism.
Bay in Rio.
Can I just say that Chalmers, the city Rio de Janeiro, has a population of 6.7 million people. I think they have more than just the statue going on.
It's not in that city. It's up on a mountain outside of the city.
Copacabana.
They also got Carnival, you know? Who doesn't want to go to Carnival?
Oh, yeah.
That drink?
Isn't that in Quebec?
That green drink?
With Bonhomme Danage?
Ooh.
Well,
what's
that's
the
a
green
different
drink?
It's made with sugar cane. I know that. I'll look it up what's in it. But it's supposed to be like rocket fuel drink Carnival.
Nice.
I just made a meme while we were talking that's about boat racing. And I'm going to send it to you, Bag Milk.
Is it on the Mount Rushmore of memes?
Yes.
That you've
produced. Chalmers, do you want me to say that you're drunk at a child's baseball game or intoxicated at a child's baseball game?
Well, I would prefer neither, but...
Well, that's not the boat race.
For the sake of content.
I'm just kidding. I'll tone it down.
I don't think you could... I don't think I could be on the field drunk at a kid's game and coach.
Abe Lincoln is the missing president, Chalmers, of Mount Rushmore, just so you know. Thought I would time that for... Well, after
this drink is called the I don't know how to say this. The Capirana. Chalmers, how's this tickle your fancy? One lime sliced or quartered, 2 tablespoons of cane sugar, 3 ounces of Ménage à Trois gold Chardonnay, 1 cup of ice, freshly sliced lime or pineapple. Sounds delightful.
Sounds refreshing.
That does sound delightful.
That was really
what nice. Is this podcast about?
I don't know, man. Chalmers started calling every city a prick city, and now I don't know what the hell's going on.
Prick move. Huge prick statue move. Of Jesus.
All the things I'm bringing up, all you guys in your one-track mind thinking hockey in June. So I bring a little bit of flavor to it. A little bit of new information for you guys. Never seen the fight in the stands. It's only like the most popular thing probably on social media.
Yeah, no kidding. Didn't know Aaron Carter fought the Lamar Odom.
Okay, I honestly didn't even think Lamar Odom was like still doing okay. That's the latest I knew about Lamar.
Well, he's fighting Aaron Carter, so okay is a relative term.
So this was the pre-podcast meeting was okay. So we got some topics today. Fernando Pisani scored a goal once, and I was like, "What are we doing?"
That's all we need.
The original Chalmers, Christ the Redeemer, is in Rio. However, the new one, which is 16 feet taller than the original, is going up in Encantado, Brazil.
Oh, I stand corrected. Are you sure that isn't just like the St. Albert of Rio, though?
I'm trying to Google Maps it, but I cannot figure this out. I don't speak Portuguese.
You've done enough research. You've touched bottom.
Sounds like that city's really getting an upper hand on Rio. Really going to take a bunch of bucks from them.
16 feet taller, man.
Yeah, thanks for the current events plug, Chalmers. Thanks for...
We should get like Chalmers, a little
that
bit
should of... Be- That's the agenda for the show, Chalmers, is just you and I sending Bag Milk down rabbit holes of research, getting his results, and then discounting them immediately as being done wrong.
Because you're already onto another topic. Like, it's just past it.
Because we're just moving so quick.
Here's two more things. Should I go? Do you guys want me to go serious or documentary review?
Wow.
Both.
Well, okay, first off, before you do that, I think maybe I should like find a jingle for future episodes. So when we do like current events with Chalmers, we have like a little news bed. Like
Oodle Noodle's coming out with a new jingle. Stay tuned.
All right.
Yeah,
I heard it this morning. Like
a documentary like a review, Chalmers. What do you got?
Oh, here. Should I leak it out right now, Wanya?
Well, it's pretty funny.
Okay. This will go well.
You don't think it
bring
will?
Bring your own audio to the podcast? I love it.
All right. Okay, this is OG Nation people, citizens. Can you hear that?
No.
You can't hear that, can you?
No.
That was just in my earphones. Give me 1 second.
Chalmers, start singing.
Is it going to be that long neck guy singing in it?
Oh, imagine. Where is that guy?
Can you hear probably him? Doing some sort of boxing.
No, we can't.
No, we can't.
Jerem Chuck, can you hear me? Shake your head because I have my earphones unplugged.
Yeah.
You can't.
Oh, I can hear you. I can hear you, but
so
not
ready
the
for this?
Yeah.
Is that Wanya?
No.
Well, that went well, Jay. We can't hear it anymore, pal.
He doesn't know we got to hear him. Yeah, we're not hearing anything, man.
Cut all this out. It's horrible.
All right. No, this is good.
I want you to rewind it
all. It's good
mix
this in. We got the gist of what the jingle sounds like. Jay is still holding his microphone to his
computer
because he thinks we're still listening to the jingle.
For the record, we got to
hear
the first like 2 seconds out. Sort of.
Yeah, like 3 seconds, then Chalmers started yelling.
Yeah, the joke didn't really reveal itself.
Oh, Chalmers, I needed you to stay quiet for 30 seconds.
It went away, the sound.
No. The sound went away.
And when Chalmers started talking,
because you talk over it, and then it drowns out my mic. Whatever. You got to tease.
Yeah. All right.
If that doesn't make you want a banana spring roll, what will?
Whew. We are speaking of those. We are moving banana spring roll units. People are loving them. I'm very happy about that.
I like how you tried to blame screwing that up on me.
Well,
that's somebody's fault.
Someone pulled off a prick move.
Bigger statue of Jesus than that prick move.
send the link to your M Chuck and let him play it. Let the pro do it.
Yeah, that's actually fair. I'd be able to do that. That's another segment idea. Prick move with Chalmers. Prick move. Oh. Not knowing proper etiquette when you're starting a drunk fight in the stands of an NBA playoff game.
There's two things to know.
Did we get to both things to know in a crowd fight? I know. I remember upper ground, higher ground, I should say. What was the second one, Chalmers?
Lots of people around. If you have lots of people around, you're liable to trip.
Or get suckered by a bystander.
Yeah. You need room to move.
I've noticed a lot of people since crowds started going back into the stadiums punching each other at sporting events.
Yeah.
Society is wound up.
Fans have gone legitimately crazy, especially in basketball, throwing water bottles at the players, dumping popcorn.
It's like we forgot. It's like we forgot how we're supposed to act at a sporting event. So yeah, now people are just coming out swinging.
We forgot the rules.
Yeah. Okay. Do we want to hear this oodle noodle ad?
No, not yet.
Yeah.
End the show with it.
We're not there yet. We have to cut the first little bit out, Jay. The first part with the extended oodle noodle to start. Yep. I feel it's so aggravating. People will have checked out by the time the good part kicks in the middle.
Okay.
So then we're not playing.
See, this is what happens when you show your oodle noodle jingles too soon. First rule of jingle school.
All right. If you've enjoyed this podcast,
get the high ground. First rule of jingle school. Get the high ground.
Of course. Dump oil on your opponents.
Second rule. Yeah. Do not release the jingle too soon.
Mm-hmm. All right. If you've enjoyed this podcast for whatever reason, please leave us a review, because we need to drown out on both of our podcasts, ON Radio and this one. We need to drown out a couple of negative reviews. Our last two on each of them are negative. So we really got, I know, people complain because of the noise that mics make rubbing up against the beard. And one guy was like, get a fucking better producer. And I was like, I can't do anything with beards. Anyways, if you enjoy the podcast,
why no sweep podcast? I'll give you 5 stars to listen to your cries. That one came in.
For that's me with the beard. I'm sorry. I need to get wireless ear dealies, whatever those are called. AirPods. Jesus statues.
Or you could have one of those sweet ones that comes around like you're working at a fast food place.
Nation Dan uses one of those, though, and the quality's not very good.
Yeah, the sound isn't that good on them for some reason. No.
Are the AirBuds good, or should I get those Ray J's? Raytheon.
I don't know what those other ones are.
You don't know Raytheon earphones? They're massive. You've never heard of this?
Next time you're at Little Brick, just go grab one of those mics that's sitting in there and take one of them.
What?
That'll work.
How's that going to plug in?
Yeah, I'm using one. There. Yeah, Jay's using one in his laptop. That's why Jay started to sound so well in the last three
minutes. That makes me vulnerable, podcast reviewer. I'm sorry. I have a big, long beard.
Anyways, if you enjoy the pod, please leave us 5 stars in a review. We'd appreciate it. It would make my life easier.
Unless you want to give a shitty review and dump on our producer.
Oh, yeah.
I just got a DM on Instagram from an @SSSWizard. And his profile just says disc golfer, right? So there's a lot of disc golf photos here, but the DM is what I'm interested in. Just listen to Luke Faster Than Lemieux Gazdick. I can attest to you that a puck to the pills without a cup is the worst pain I have ever felt in my life. So we've got an amateur cupless man out there that took one in the old nugs. And that's really upsetting to me that this is a thing.
I've got a question for him. Mm-hmm. And I'd like him to respond.
Right now. I'll DM
just literally one word, ? Why?
All right. Let's see if I can get a response back before we're done.
Why? Prick move, ?
Yeah, prick move.
Well, now the prick don't move as a result. Hi-yo!
Yikes.
Thank you.
You know when you leave a hot dog? You know when you leave a hot dog on the grill too long and it just splits open?
Oh, God, don't say this.
You know?
That's how you know.
That's how I imagine the situation.
How you know they're done.
Prick moves.
Like Nick Diaz's head.
Diaz, that guy can just... Man, it's impressive, that guy.
Serious or documentary review?
Turner Watson, please make a no context collage for this episode.
Good
It'll
luck,
be tremendous.
Buddy.
Yeah,
that's why I was honing in on Turner Watson. Is why I was honing in on Fort Wayne. Our boy Turner Watson's from Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Didn't he DM us and say he's not from Fort Wayne?
No, he said he is from Fort Wayne.
I think he said, like, thanks for shouting out Fort Wayne, Indiana.
No, yeah, he's a doctor in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
He's a doctor?
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you even know where the big statue of Jesus is going in Brazil, your M-Chuck? Or are you just, like, cluing in? Jesus.
Sorry, Rio.
All right, go ahead.
Is where it's at.
Chalmers, you have the floor. Go for it.
Documentary review.
Yeah, I want a documentary review because it'll be something for me to watch.
A six-part documentary called Q, Into the Storm.
I have that PVR.
It is about what would you call it? The creation of the QAnon movement.
Oh, yeah.
Where it started, how it started, and by the end of it, you find out who started it, who is Q, why it happened, what drove hundreds of thousands of Americans to believe in such a ridiculous premise for an idea.
And who is it?
Why?
No. I want to watch it.
You'll see the documentary. I'm not telling you.
But it's
crazy and it moves quick. It is fast moving. There's a lot of information and it is intense. It will make you question whether or not that we are going to be able to survive the next 50 years if we keep living as stupidly as we are right now. And if people are this easily swayed to believe something that is this crazy, then it really makes you question humanity. But it blows your mind. I've been questioning humanity for a long time, man. Well, this is not going to fucking help. You are going to be blown away multiple times. And you find out the reason why he did it. And it's just, and like the layers, how simply it happened. I think that's what really shocked me was how simply he was able to start the movement on a platform that nobody had ever heard of, which is one of the worst platforms in the history of the internet.
The dark web lives
on the dark web. It's called 8chan. It is a place where anybody can go. It's basically what they call a picture.
8chan?
8chan or 4chan? 4chan.
So,
like with
so
Jesperson
4chan,
back in the day?
Like Gene Principe and Darren Trigger?
8chan. So like it started as 4chan, but they got kicked off of 4chan.
So they doubled it.
They moved to 8chan. And you'll see when you watch it. I there's times where in the first couple episodes, you'll be like, why am I watching this? But stick with it because it will blow your... You will see people that you cannot believe exist in this world. And that's my review of it. It's a must watch. And it's done by Adam McKay. Does anybody know who Adam McKay is?
Adam McKay.
The producer...
Adam McKay.
No. He was the producer of Step Brothers, Anchorman. He was really... You know, he basically wrote 10 of the best comedies in that big comedy bubble right around when like Old School and Wedding Crashers, all that kind of stuff was out. He then partnered up with Will Ferrell to make Funny or Die, the website. And he was Will Ferrell's writing partner. He then took a left turn into very serious subjects. And this is one of those subjects. He is a brilliant person. And this thing is just fucking amazing. You gotta watch it.
The one thing I want to ask about the identity of Q, is it someone we've heard of?
No. So it's been exposed. Like this thing came out like a good 6 months ago. And I don't know if you guys know this, but like ever since a certain somebody was not reelected into office, QAnon has really, really like been devastated. Like the amount of followers, the whole movement has just completely puttered to like a stop. And at a time, if you were in that world, you would know this person. At one point, right before the insurgent of the Capitol building, he had the second most powerful Twitter account behind Donald Trump. And so, you won't know him because of that. He's not
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Oh my God.
Christian Ronaldo is cute.
Yeah.
Plot twist.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's
powerful
my
social media game.
Mm-hmm. Watch it. Watch it. Be enlightened by some really, really crazy ass people out there. And it's just a fun watch. Really,
what's the next one, Chalmers? What's the next thing?
Yeah, we, two things. Okay, go, Charles. Hit us with some sad news.
Oh, is it sad? I don't want sad news.
Well, that's what he said.
I saw the Denmark, news. The play in the Euro 2020. A guy named
Christian Eriksen.
Christian Eriksen, sorry. He collapsed on the pitch, and you saw people basically jump into action and save this guy's life. The captain of the Denmark team ran to him first, braced his head, ordered his team to create a privacy wall of their bodies around this player. He then fished his tongue out of the back of his throat, starting the process of saving this person's life.
They did CPR, the whole thing. Mm-hmm.
The player, when the EMTs arrived, when the EMTs arrived on the field and to Eriksen, he was dead, and they revived him with CPR and a defibrillator, and it was fucking scary. And then they went, after a 90-minute delay, with the blessing of Eriksen in the locker room, asking all of his teammates in a rare move of just, what is he thinking? He asked them how they were all doing, having to have lived through it, and said that with his blessing, they should go back out and play. And they did. And fortunately, they lost, not completing the Cinderella story of the movie.
Then they lost.
Yeah.
They lost 1-0 to Finland, but it was just something that, like, just, you know, the guy ran there and saved his buddy's life, like, on a soccer field, and some of the most, you know, most athletic, best conditioned athletes in the world, and this happens to him. It was just scary. And I think it's something that, like, you could take it one or two ways. You can be super scared by it, or you can look and be like, man, that was really fucking amazing what just happened out there.
It was amazing that, like, I saw the interview with the doctor that performed CPR, and it's just like how quickly they had to make decisions in what was unquestionably horrific circumstances. It's pretty amazing what all of them did to save his life.
Well, this is where, like, the training they go through, right? The schooling, all that stuff, why it's so hard and why it's so important. So it can be like muscle memory, making those decisions like that in that moment to have a positive outcome. So,
well, and thank God that they were so well-trained, because, like, you're going to a soccer game as an EMT. Let's be honest. You're probably thinking, oh, am I going to have to fucking pick one of these guys up who's flopping around on a stretcher and carry him off just to ice down his knee and put him back in the game? And you're probably not thinking something like this is going to happen. But thank God they had the proper people in place, because that could have been devastating. I don't think, like, I mean, obviously I don't remember it, but it's probably happened somewhere. But somebody dying on a field of play, it's not something that I think any of us can remember or name of a time. And we just, you know, like, if those guys weren't trained properly, and if that captain didn't act the way he acted, we could have been talking about that today, you know?
Well, I mean, like, Jay Bomeister collapsed as well, like, in the NHL not long ago. And it was the same thing where they had, you know, people were trained and got to it exactly when they needed to, you know? Yeah. It's pretty amazing what they have, like Jay said, as muscle memory in the back of their minds, because that's just, like, terrifying circumstances.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Anyway, so, yeah, a little intense, but I just thought it's worth a talk, you know, just because it's all-encompassing sports, you know? Those guys are teammates. They save their teammates' life.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
To kind of shift topics, but to bring up a subject that we haven't talked about in a while, is a little bit of sports betting. And I want to tell everyone, the divided group of Taylor Hall fans, I made a bunch of money betting against Taylor Hall, because I knew the Isles. I knew they were fake news. I knew the Isles were going to whoop them, and they were heavily underdogged in that series. And I made some good coinage off of that series. And now I am going for the betting for the rest of the playoffs. I'm putting my money on the Islanders. They have blue and orange like the Oilers, so I can trick myself into thinking it's okay to do.
Jordan Eberle.
Yeah, Jordan Eberle. I will never say I'm an Islanders fan. I'm an Islanders better.
So is this a team of destiny? Like, you're M. Chuck. about the Islanders, you probably know a little bit more about just like their makeup. Is this an example of a team who just like found culture with like a guy like Lou Lamoriello and found a bond, and like just the fact that they're I don't know, the intangibles of hockey are kind of like playing out on the ice.
I give more credit to Barry Trotz than anyone else. Like, he's such a good coach. He's going to go down as one of the best coaches of this generation here. Like, when you look at the body of work over the last 15 years, and they're just really deep, right? Like, you go, their third line is Pageau, Palmieri, Zajac. Like, they have depth and they're well coached. Their blue line is underrated. Like, Ryan Pulock is so good. Adam Pellick is so good. And it's guys you don't hear a lot about, right? But they play in that weird little bubble out on Long Island / Brooklyn, whatever the hell goes on there. And they're just a team who knows how to win a one goal game. And they play like almost perfectly structured hockey, which for me, it's a little irritating because I like a fast paced, wide open game. They do what it takes to win, though. It's impressive in that regard. And I give a lot of credit to Trotz. Anyways.
And they won game one too. I haven't watched any hockey.
Yeah, I made some money on that too. I bet on them to win the series. I bet on them to win game one, and I put a cheeky bet on them to go all the way.
If you want to be a smart bettor like Jay, find our friends at oddshark.com. They got everything you need. I've gone away from the hockey a little bit. I've been big into baseball, doing a lot of first five inning betting. You look at the starting pitching matchup. You look at how the opposition does against lefties and against righties, and you can make a five inning bet. And I've been doing really, really well lately on those. So if you want to tail along with me here, what do I got here? Tigers plus half a run today in the first five innings against KC, and Cincinnati Milwaukee under 5.5 in the first five. There you go.
Do you bet every day?
Yeah, I bet every day.
Wow.
Your M Chuck, you know what the best part about this weekend was when my sons made a transition into hockey where they actually cared to watch it on TV. That happened this weekend also. We got home from our first game and we were having lunch. He put on the guide and he would never go to MLB's best or any game. And it's all he wants to watch. Baseball. And so like, yeah, there's that tipping point where he now is like played a competitive game and wants to watch it. It's cool.
He's going to love Vladdy Jr.
I forgot how much fun
it is watching a baseball game.
Vladdy's going for fourth game in a row with a home run tonight, I believe. Shout out to Blue Jays Nation Radio. Shout out to Viridian Global and this sweet dome shirt I'm rocking. It's up on nationgear.ca. All right. We're going to wrap this bad boy up because we hit an hour and that is when my attention span is done.
And that's about as much as you can take today. Hey, pal.
We crammed a lot of good stuff into this one.
I got every topic I wrote down that I wanted to touch on. We hit on. So that's a successful show in my books. Yep. Every single one. Too. All six.
During all this, I sold the audio NFT of Chalmers saying prick move for $483.
Audio NFT.
Nice. What do I get for that?
You have to come find me in the dark web, buddy.
80-20 my way?
Yeah. I'll give you a 4/5 commish on the
4/5 commish. Prick move.
Right. What a frick move.
Suns in four. We're going to wrap Suns this thing four. Up. Episode 290 of the Real Life Podcast brought to you by the HGA Group. Special shout out to Neo Financial, Manscaped.com, and Twig and Berries and Neo Financial. I think I just said them twice, though. I'm out of it.
Oh, and this... HGA.
Episode's over.
Great job on making You're it welcome. Through the entire hour of the Real Life Podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcast from.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.